that no man was able, still he sent his Son. Knowing he would die on the tree, knowing he would die for me, knowing all the pain there'd be, God still sent his Son.
Knowing that mankind would reject him, God still sent his Son.
Knowing that they'd want to slay him, still he sent his Son. Knowing he would die on the tree, knowing he would die for me, knowing all the pain there'd be, God still sent his Son. Knowing that a friend would betray him, God still sent his Son. Knowing men would mock and curse him, still he sent his Son. Knowing he would die on the tree, knowing he would die for me, knowing all the pain there'd be, God still sent his Son. Forgiven, will you claim his Son? Knowing that he offers heaven, will you claim his Son? Knowing he did die on the tree, knowing he did die for knowing all the joy there'll be, will you claim his Son?
Will
God
you
still
claim
his Son?
Amen. Wonderful song. Thank you. I appreciate that. And we're grateful to have Levi and Bethany Armacost with us. And that's a great blessing. Let's take the Word of God this morning and go to Acts chapter number 27. Acts chapter 27. In just a moment, I want to begin a message that I think is something that we really need to deal with in our hearts and lives, especially at a time in our country like this. And you know, I believe that there have been many Christians during this time of election that just are pretty discouraged, disheartened, and in many ways, just defeated. Well, I want to bring us to Acts chapter 27, and I want to deal with this subject. Now, let me begin by saying this. I don't know that we know who is our president yet, and I don't know that all that has been decided and determined. And I'll be very honest with you, as your pastor, it has been a discouraging time the last couple of weeks, seeing everything and hearing everything. I voted gladly for President Trump, and that was my desire for him to be reelected as our president. I don't know what's going to take place. I pray that there's a recount done everywhere. I would love to see that happen. I don't know what is going to happen. I don't think anybody does, really. But let me say this. No matter what takes place, as God's people, no matter who is in the White House, folks, we can still have faith in God, and we can still be people of joy and gladness in our Christian lives. And God wants us to live that way. In fact, when we come to Acts chapter 27, the Apostle Paul has already been in prison for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is now being sent to Rome to be put on trial for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We understand in Acts 27 that he's getting ready to get on a ship, and they're going to sail to Rome to where he will be on trial. And there, before they ever leave, Paul tells the shipmaster, I'm sorry, but this is going to be a dangerous trip, and we should not take the trip. And if we take the trip, I fear for loss of life and definitely for loss of the ship. But obviously, the shipmaster did not believe Paul, and there was a great shipwreck that took place. But the Bible tells us that God spoke to Paul and told him, the ship will be lost, but every man's life will be saved. And Paul makes that famous phrase that we will look at, and he says, but brethren, be of good cheer, for I believe God. And today I want to preach on this subject, be of good cheer. You say, now, Pastor, I'm going to just be honest with you. What do we have to cheer about today? All right. Ohio State didn't play yesterday. All right. That's one bad thing. The election chaos that is going on, the violence that we see in our country, the pandemic that we are dealing with, and all of the seemingly freedoms and liberties of our own that have been taken away from us, and all kinds of different things that we could grumble, that we could be upset about. And I have struggled in my own personal life. But I believe that God wants us to be people of good cheer. Why? Because we believe God. We believe God. Listen, folks, if we remove God out of everything, then we are in trouble today. But because we are believers in a true and living God who is truly on the throne today, we can have good cheer. We can have good cheer. We can rejoice this morning. Let's read the passage, Acts 27. And let's begin, if you would please, in verse number 9. Acts chapter 27 and verse number 9. I may be preaching in the dark here in a few minutes, all right? But let's be of good cheer, all right? And at least we have a roof over our heads, all right? Acts chapter 27, verse number 9. The Bible says, now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain unto Phoenix and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me. That's kind of funny that Paul said that. He said, guys, I told you not to go, all right? But you did anyway. He said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. You know something we all ought to underline in our Bibles, that little phrase, be of good cheer, for I believe God. 2020 has been quite a year, has it not? And I'm just ready to get through the year, you know? I think many of us feel that way in many ways. But honestly, we don't know what 2021 holds or 2022 holds or any year like that. But folks, I want us to be of good cheer because we believe God. Our faith is in God. Our faith is not in the economy. Our faith is not in the election. Our hope is not in the country's direction in certain ways. Our hope this morning is in an almighty, all-powerful God. We can trust Him. In fact, as we think about being of good cheer, I'm going to give you two simple thoughts this morning. Number one, be of good cheer. Why, Pastor? Because number one, our God is sovereign. Now, the word sovereign is a word that many people get mixed up on many times. But I'm dealing with the providence of God. Now, the word providence, many Puritans used to use the word providence a lot. And let me just dissect the word for you just a little bit. The word pro, okay, that part of providence, pro means before. But vidience has to do with like showing a video. The ideal is that God knows history before it ever takes place. Providence is simply this. Someone said that providence is God's hand behind the headlines. God's hand behind the headlines. Now, please know this morning that God never authors sin. And God never approves of wickedness or man's ungodliness or man's unrighteousness. God never approves of lies and deceit and all of that. But there is a God in heaven that is sovereign, meaning God is able in His wisdom and in His power to work all things together for our good. In fact, T. DeWitt Talmadge, a great preacher of years gone by, said this. He said, rulers may plan and armies may march and the congresses of the nations may seem to think they are adjusting all the affairs of this world. But the mighty men of the earth are only the dust of the chariot wheels of God's providence. Do you know that God is always behind the headlines? God is there at work. He is moving and working. And I believe in the sovereignty of an almighty God. Today, folks, you can be of good cheer, even in the midst of this pandemic, even in the midst of the COVID and all that we're dealing with when it comes to that. We can have hope and we can have cheer this morning, even in the midst of the election that did not turn out like I believe most of us hoped it would. We still don't know what is going to happen, but we can have cheer, we can have joy and gladness because of God's sovereignty today. He is truly in control. In fact, folks, I want you to know that God is not dead this morning. He has not surrendered His throne. He still reigns. Sometimes it looks as though the throne of this universe is empty. We see the violence and the crime, and we see that justice is not taken care of as it seems like. We see that lies prosper while truth fades, and evil seems to be in control of the world that God has made. But I want you to know something. God has not surrendered the reins of this universe. He is truly in control. Let's take our Bibles and go to Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 6 because I want to show you this. Providence, what is the sovereignty and the providence of God? It is the belief that God will have His way in the end. Folks, God rules over land and sea. He guides the course of history toward His appointed end. Someone said that history is really His story. And that's what history really is. Now, we understand that this pandemic will go down in history. We understand that this election will go down in history. But can I tell you something? It is his story. Now, folks, please understand something. I do not believe that God ever authors sin or unrighteousness or wickedness in our land. But God is able to work all things together for our good. He is able to do so. Folks, among this day of despair and ungodliness, we have a God who still reigns. He still is in control. Listen, if I did not believe that God is in control today, then folks, we are in great trouble. We really are. But there is a God who reigns. Revelation chapter 19, can I tell you the background behind this before I read this verse? And when we come to Revelation chapter 19, the Apostle John, he lived in a world not too different from the world we are living in today. In fact, did you know that when he wrote this book of Revelation, he was a prisoner of Rome. He was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. Things were pretty difficult for him. In fact, do you know who was on the throne when the Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation? It was none other than Caesar. Do you know what I don't find John doing here in Revelation chapter 19? It's not about him. It's not about his trials. It's not about his testing. He does not say, "Woe is me, Caesar is on the throne." But instead, he just gets his eyes on Jesus Christ. He notices who is really on the throne. Now, we know that humanly speaking, in Revelation chapter 19, Caesar, the wicked, ruthless king, is on the throne. But look what he says in Revelation chapter 19. We come to verse number 6. The Bible says, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." Now think about that just for a moment. In the midst of all that is going on, John says, I want you to know something, Alleluia. That's a form of hallelujah. The idea is that we should be of good cheer. We should have joy. We should have some gladness within our heart, not because of who is on the earthly throne, but who is on the heavenly throne. It is the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Folks, I want you to know something. Our God is still in control today. Our God is going to be in control for the next 4 years and the next 40 years and the next 400 years. He is sitting on the throne. You know something? John did not see himself as a prisoner of Caesar. He didn't see himself as that way. He saw himself as a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And he wasn't suffering. Paul was simply enjoying and sharing in the joy and the glory of Jesus Christ. Folks, no matter how dark the day will be, no matter how heavy the burden, we can still look up this morning and we can say, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. You know something, I've talked to a lot of people in the last few days, and boy, it's in people's hearts and minds. The election, the pandemic, you know, the possible shutdowns again, and all kinds of different things. And I'm going to tell you something, it's been a tough year, I think, on all of us. And we can get so beat down, and we can get so discouraged, and oh boy, these are terrible days. But folks, these are not terrible days. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Why can we be glad in it? For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. We do not have to be defeated, folks. We don't have to walk around defeated and discouraged, because our hope is not in a man that is sitting in the White House. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, who has all power. That's where our hope is. Folks, the only thing that you and I can depend upon today is the rule and reign of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now let's think about it just for a moment, all right? Now I want you to consider this. It is wrong for us and wrong for me to be happy and joyous just because our candidate will be put in the White House. Now think about it just for a minute. Now you say, well, wait a minute, Pastor, I would be happy, and me too, all right? But do you understand today, are we putting our trust in a man? Are we putting our confidence in a human being? Let's take our Bibles, and would you go with me now to a passage that I think is very helpful during a time like this. But let's go, if you would please, to Psalm chapter 146. Psalm chapter 146. And I want you to know something. And I want you to see what the Bible has for us here in Psalm 146. As you're turning there, I want you to know the only thing that we can depend upon is our Savior, the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. And folks, I want you to know this, and I want you to hear me out. Because Jesus is on the throne, we can face tomorrow with courage and with confidence because Jesus Christ is on the throne. We can have courage. We can have confidence. We can have joy and cheer in our heart because the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Listen today, be of good cheer because God is sovereign. Folks, every president, every congressman, every senator, every governor, every foreign prime minister, every tyrant, and every terrorist is under the government of an almighty God. No man can thwart the will of our almighty God. No man can do it. We can trust Him. Folks, throughout the Bible, do you know that we can see in the Bible how God even used such men like Pharaoh, such men like Nebuchadnezzar and Cyrus and Artaxerxes and Herod to accomplish His plans. Our trust is not in a person. Our trust is in God. Psalm 146, I love what the Bible tells us here. And I want you to notice what the Word of God tells us in Psalm 146 and verse number 3. It says, "Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man," notice this, "in whom there is no help." Verse 4 says, "His breath goeth forth. He returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish." Can I tell you what God is telling us? People forget about you. I mean, look, folks, do you know that we are never forgotten by God? Never. Have you ever told someone something to pray for and you think, well, I'm sure they're going to pray for it, but listen, they don't think about it all day long. They can't. That's impossible. So we are to put our trust in a God who we can depend upon and rely upon. We read on in verse 5, "Happy is he," I love that, "happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseneth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations, praise ye the Lord." Boy, we ought to memorize Psalm chapter 146, because in Psalm chapter 146, we find that our God is sovereign. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. I read something just recently, and I want to read it to you, and I pray that God would use this. Folks, look, our God is truly sovereign. He is a God of providence. Paul Batura, I've never met this man, but he is a writer. In fact, he is a senior writer for Focus on the Family, President Jim Daly. And Paul Batura wrote this, and I read it, and it really encouraged my heart. And he's a man of faith. He knows the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he said, "How can we look at this election and see the hand of God?" And he said this. He said, "I want you to think about history just for a moment." He said, back in 1856, if Democrat James Buchanan hadn't won the presidency, defeating Republican nominee John Fremont and former President Millard Fillmore in a three-way race, it's unlikely, and historians account to this. It's unlikely that Abraham Lincoln would have run and been elected in 1860. And think, without the great Lincoln, when would the slaves have been freed? Would the United States have remained a nation of one? That took place back in 1856. More recently, Paul Batura said, if Democrat Jimmy Carter had not defeated Republican President Gerald Ford in 1976, most historians agree there would have been no Ronald Reagan presidency 4 years later. As such, there would have been no Reagan Revolution as we know it that restored Americans' optimism, rebuilt our military and defenses, and ultimately helped usher in the end of the Cold War. And he said this in closing. He said, God's hidden work today is often tomorrow's revealed wonder. Folks, can I tell you something? We didn't know all that back in, of course, 1856. I don't think we have anybody here that old, all right? And 1976, I was 1 year of age at the time. But listen, God behind the headlines. Listen, I don't know what is going to happen tomorrow or the next day through this election and through this pandemic, but God is sovereign. He is in the midst of all of it, and we can be of good cheer today. We can have hope and joy, not in a man, not in the election process, not in all that has taken place, but our hope, our confidence can be in a God who sits on the throne this morning, and the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He is in control. Our hope and joy is not in men and what men choose to do and the lies and deceit of our country and the wickedness that seemingly prevails. Our confidence, our trust, and our dependence is on Jehovah God who reigns today. Folks, be of good cheer because our God is sovereign. Number two, be of good cheer because our God is sufficient. He is sufficient. Let's take our Bibles and let's go to Psalm chapter 103. You're there in Psalm 146, but would you turn back to Psalm 103? And I want you to see this. How can we be of good cheer? Because God is sovereign. He's on the throne. He is working all things together for our good. We have no reason really to be defeated and discouraged. Folks, God has not forsaken us. He has not forsaken us. Now look, if we're honest with other people, we'd say it's been some pretty discouraging days. It's been a difficult time to be a pastor during a pandemic and people not able to come to church, and you wonder what's going to happen next week, next month, whatever, and all of that. But I have to place that at the feet of the Lord Jesus. I have to trust in Him. We can be very discouraged and almost a people of despair if we don't have our eyes on the real throne. And the real throne is our Lord God who's sitting on that throne this morning. He's there. And I think about Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah chapter number 6. Do you know that Uzziah had been king for 50-something years? He was a good king, a man of God. A man who loved God, and now he's no longer on the throne. And Isaiah is discouraged. Isaiah is wondering what's going to happen. And we know that the next king that came in after Uzziah was not a godly king. And you know what? Isaiah, the Bible says that in the year that King Uzziah died, the Bible says that I saw the Lord sitting on his throne. You know what? It could be that God is just trying to get our eyes off man onto the Lord Jesus Christ. It could be that the Lord is trying to encourage and strengthen our confidence and our faith, not in a man or not in a system, but our faith is to be in the Lord God omnipotent. We come secondly to be of good cheer. Why? Because our God is sufficient. You know, the Lord has designed the Christian life so that if nothing goes the way that you hope or expect, you can still put your faith in God. And you can still have joy and gladness. Psalm 103. I love this psalm. And in fact, I say this. It's one of my favorite psalms. I say that about a lot of psalms, you know. But you can have lots of favorites in the Bible. But look in Psalm 103, verse 1. The Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Bible says, it goes on to say in verse 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens. Look at that. He's got a throne in the heavens. And his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works and all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I love that verse where it says in verse 19, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens. And let me tell you something, nobody takes Jesus off of his throne. He's not going to be voted out. He is not going to be succeeded by anyone. The Lord Jesus Christ sits on his throne. And folks, listen, we can be of good cheer. Why? Because we believe God. Be of good cheer today because God is a sovereign God. He is working those things in your life that are disappointments, that are heartaches, that are hard for you to understand. He's working together. He knows what he is doing. He is sitting on his throne. He has a plan, and no man will thwart the way of an almighty God. Be of good cheer, but be of good cheer today because our God is sufficient. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what next week holds, but I do know this. God is sufficient for next week. He is sufficient for next month. You see, folks, the only way God's people can make it in a world where people are bent on vengeance and violence is by faith in God. Our faith, our confidence. That's what I've been preaching on the last many Sunday mornings. And today is to bring our attention to the Lord, his throne, his holy throne. He is the righteous God. No man will take away from our God. It is his throne that we must get our eyes on. Folks, if you don't have faith in God during this time, this wicked world will wear you down that you almost be good for nothing. You know what? I grew up in Tennessee, and to be a University of Tennessee fan, a Volunteers, all right, the football and all of that, they're not any good anymore. But when I was a kid, they were good, you know. But I remember there was a man in our church. I'll never forget this as a kid, that if Tennessee won on Saturday, college football, he was the happiest man you've ever met in your life. Joy was abounding. And I recognized it as a kid, you know. But if Tennessee lost on Saturday, which they do most Saturdays now, you know. They didn't play yesterday, so, you know, it was a good day. But anyway, but when Tennessee would lose as a kid, he would be defeated. And I'm being honest with you. I mean, just discouraged. Almost angry, you know, kind of a little, just kind of a bitter spirit about him. And I remember as a kid thinking to myself, and I wasn't very wise and I wasn't real smart, but I thought to myself, that's a strange way to live life, you know, based on a football game. You know what? We all agree with that today, don't we? But folks, it's a strange way to live life if we're dependent on who's in the White House. It's a strange way for our joy to be dependent on circumstances that are around us. In fact, folks, our God is sufficient today. We can have cheer. We can have joy because heaven is our home and Jesus is our Savior. And we can pray to Him and we can talk to Him and we can depend upon Him. Folks, today we can have joy. Folks, in a changing world, our God never changes. And we can live victoriously. We can live with victory today. In fact, our attitude should not be based on our circumstances, but our attitude should be based on the promises of God. Folks, it doesn't matter what the economy does. It doesn't matter what our nation does. It matters that God is on the throne, and we're going to be just fine because the Lord is sitting on the throne. We can trust Him. We can depend upon Him. Folks, in fact, God tells us, go to, in your Bibles, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. I want you to see this passage. I think this is so important. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, as we talk about that our God is sufficient. What is He sufficient for? Well, first, God is able to make all grace abound. You know what we need right now? We need grace. We need God's grace. Grace to accept things that have come to us. You know what is tough? Sometimes we resist. We resist what's happened. We resist it. We don't want it. I'm not accepting that. But wait a minute. There is a sovereign God. There is a sovereign God. There are many things that I don't like what happen and things that take place. And we think about this pandemic and all the things that have transpired from that. But folks, let us accept the fact that God is on the throne. Let us accept the fact that God is sufficient to meet our needs, to give us grace. You need grace. I need grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." God is able to make all grace abound to you, to give you that grace. You know what grace is? Grace is something that only God can give you, but it's that supernatural, divine enablement to live a joyous Christian life. It's grace, folks. Can I just put it to you simply? You receive grace when you're alone with God in prayer. He'll give you grace. He'll give you peace. He'll give you joy knowing that everything's going to be okay. You know, I remember just as a little kid, we were kind of laughing a little bit when we were at this youth conference. They put us up in a dormitory, all right? And that's where we stayed. I thank God for my bed on Friday night. I just want you to know that, all right? And we were sleeping on concrete. No, I'm joking. It seemed like concrete, you know. And I'm not. I'm grateful for what we were able to be there and all of that. But you know, it's just different. It's not your bed and all of that. And my wife and I were talking, and I told her. I said, you know, when I was a kid, I could sleep on the ground and slept really good. How many remembers those days? You know, I remember at night a storm would come, or my sisters were being mean during the day and I was scared at night or something like that, you know. I mean, I had reason to be afraid. And sometimes I'd sneak into my mom and dad's bedroom and I'd take my pillow and my blanket and I'd lay on that hard floor. I mean, I had carpet, but it was hard. And I slept like a baby. I mean, I just slept so good. I'd get up in the morning, man, I was rested. And my dad would always say, son, if I slept like that, I wouldn't walk for days, you know. How many knows what he's saying there? Yeah, you understand. But you know why I slept so good? Not because of the floor. It wasn't very comfortable. But because mom and dad were right there. You know? I knew if someone broke in, mom and dad would take care of them. My daddy was there. My daddy would protect me. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. We can rest. We can lie down in God's goodness and His grace. We can lie down in the arms of an everlasting Father. He pities us as He pities His own children. We can rest today because the Lord is on the throne. He is our sovereign God, but He is sufficient. So He is able to make all grace abound. But secondly, He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Folks, we should be praying right now. We should be praying and trusting God and looking to God. But the Bible says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. Folks, our God is able. He is also able to subdue all things. Folks, all is well because the Lord Jesus Christ is able to subdue all things under His feet. Listen, this election and all that's taking place, it's above me. You know what I think kind of frustrating in things is we can't do anything about it, you know? That's what's kind of frustrating about it. But folks, God is able to do all things. It's not above Him. He is able. We can trust in Him. In fact, the Bible says that God is able to save to the uttermost. He's able. We must trust in Him. Folks, we perceive today that the greatest danger is what we can see. That's what we think. But folks, I want you to know something. The real danger is in failing to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe there are going to be some Christians that are going to get off track during this time in their life. They're going to get off track for fear, for worry, for frustration. They're just going to get off track because they have gotten their eyes off of the Lord. You remember when David was, he was going to be the king. God had anointed him to be king. But you know the story. Saul was chasing after him. Why didn't God stop Saul? Why didn't God keep Saul from doing? God could have done that, but God allowed it. Now, God did not approve or author what Saul was doing, his hatred, his vengeance, his jealousy of David. But God allowed it in His providence because God was making a man. And let me tell you this, God has not authored this sin and this wickedness, but I want you to know something. God is well able to work it together for His good, our good, and for His glory, because He is the God who's truly on the throne. Let's trust Him. Let's believe in Him. I read the story years ago back about... I'm sorry. I believe so. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, I believe the Lord's in control, and I believe God is speaking and working in our hearts. And God can use whatever to deal with us. And He loves us and cares for us. Years ago, I heard this story about a family that was expecting their second child. They began working to prepare their 3-year-old son, Michael, for their little baby sister's arrival. Michael would, just 3 years of age, he would sing to his baby sister in his mommy's tummy. You know, he would get up there and sing. And often he would sing the little song, "You Are My Sunshine." And he would sing that. Well, he built almost a bond of love with his little baby sister before she was even born. And when the mother was giving birth, there were some major complications. The baby was born, but she was in very serious condition. The baby was transferred to the NICU unit at St. Mary's Hospital in Knoxville, Tennessee, where I'm from. Days passed, and the little girl just got worse. She was in bad shape. In fact, the doctor said that there was not much hope left for this little girl. The parents went and purchased a plot at a cemetery. They had prepared a nursery for the little baby girl, but now they were preparing for a funeral. Michael, the 3-year-old brother, who loved his baby sister that he had never seen yet, the one that he had sang to, "You Are My Sunshine," Michael kept begging his parents to let him see his sister. He said, "I want to sing to her." Children are allowed into the NICU unit, but this mother decided to take him anyway. She put him in a scrub suit and put him all decked out. When the nurse saw him and said, "Hey, get that kid out of here," the mother said, "He is not leaving until he sings to his baby sister." Well, she took Michael to the incubator where his little sister was losing her life. She was fighting, but she was losing. Michael began to sing, "You Are My Sunshine." Instantly, and doctors have recorded this and it went down in the books, that instantly the baby girl seemed to respond. Her pulse became steady. Her breathing eased and became normal. The mother told him, "Michael, keep singing." Everyone in the room was weeping and watching, and soon the baby was released to go home. You know what? When everybody thought all hope is gone, God used the little boy to sing, "You Are My Sunshine," to his little baby sister, and God performed a miracle. I want you to know something this morning. We still serve a miracle-working God. We still serve Him. And that God is at work today. That God is working in the midst of our country. He has not failed you and me. And folks, God, what does God want for us during this time? What does God want for me and for you as God's people? He wants us to be of good cheer, for we believe God. We need to have hope and confidence and joy because our God is sovereign. Our God is on the throne. But let us have hope and confidence today because our God is all sufficient. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You today for Your love, Your mercy, and Your goodness. And God, we pray today that You would give us hope, and You would give us joy, and You would give us peace in our hearts. Lord, You know what is going on in our country. You know what is going on in our personal lives. And You see and You understand. Father, forgive us for our doubt, our despair, our discouragement. And Lord, help us to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Father, help us this morning to be of good cheer, to have joy and peace in our heart. Lord, things around us are not what we desire, or not what we would hope for, but Father, we know that You have not changed. We know that You're the same God a year ago that You are today. Lord, help us to trust in You. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I want to ask you a question this morning. How many would say, "Pastor, would you pray for me today? Because, Pastor, I don't know Jesus as my Savior. And, Pastor, God has dealt with me this morning, and I know that I need the Lord. Pray for me this morning." Would you lift your hand and hold up high? "That's me, Pastor. I need the Lord. I don't know where I would go if I died today. Pray for me this morning." Would you lift your hand and hold it up high? Now, I want to ask you a question. How many would say, "Pastor, I'll be honest with you. I've been pretty discouraged. I've been pretty defeated in the last days or weeks. God has dealt with me this morning. Would you pray for me?" Would you lift your hand? "That's me, preacher. That's me." Amen. I appreciate your honesty. I have my hand raised as well. How many today would say, "Pastor, I want to be of good cheer and have confidence in the joy of the Lord because I believe God?" That's me. Would you lift your hand? "That's me. I desire that." Amen. Let's stand together, would you please? And today, I want to ask you in just a moment to come, to trust the Lord. Maybe you'd like to leave your seat and come, and as a family or as a husband and wife, and say, "God, we want to trust in You during this time. You are in control. You're on the throne." Father in heaven, we thank You for Your love and mercy. Lord, the weather outside may be windy and rumbly, and God, it's much like our world today. God, as safe as we are in this building this morning, we are safe in the arms of Jesus. And we can trust in You. We can depend upon You and rely upon You. Help us to have faith in You and that You are sitting on the throne. Guide us in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and go to hymn number 397, Trusting Jesus. Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way. Even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. If God has dealt with you, would you leave your seat and come? Let's be obedient to the Lord.
Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way, even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Brightly doth His Spirit shine into this poor of mine. While He leads, I cannot fall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all.
Well, you can remain standing there, and I have something very, very exciting to share with you just at the very end here. And my wife and I will be standing with you at the close, at the kind of the end of the service here. But we have a family that's been visiting here, coming here for the, probably the last couple of months now, and the Gullett family. And can y'all raise your hand there? And Shane and Amber Blaine, all that. Very, very good. And but Blaine comes to our Christian school here and began this first year. And then we noticed that his mom and dad and the rest of the family began attending our church. We're so thrilled about it. Well, last Sunday, they approached me about becoming members of our church, and I was thrilled, but I said, well, we need to sit down and talk. So yesterday, in my office, we were able to sit down and talk, and Amber knows the Lord as her personal Savior. She was saved many years ago in a Baptist church in St. Paris, but I asked Shane, I said, Shane, do you know the Lord? Have you ever been saved? And he said, Pastor, I never have. And so in my office, I had the privilege for about a half an hour to share the gospel with Shane. And he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And we're just so thrilled about that. Now, Blaine is in the teen group. And probably a month ago or so, Blaine accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior as well. Now, we're excited about that. The problem is we can't baptize them yet, all right? And so... Honestly, we're going to just let them be honorary members of our church until we can have them baptized. All right. Now, Amber was saved, but has not been baptized by immersion. And so Blaine hasn't been baptized. So we're going to baptize the whole family in the brand new baptistry when we get in the building. All right. That's going to be pretty exciting, isn't it? You know, but we're so thrilled. And, you know, when you talk about providence, that's the providence of God. That's God's sovereignty. The Trimbles are the ones who invited them to our church and known about our school, and God brought them here. God was seeking after them, and God was working all that together because He wanted this family, as He does every family, to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So today they're going to be standing, the whole family, and we've got Blaine and then Tanner. Is Tanner back here? All right, he's back here. I can't see him, but he's there, all right? And so that's good. So we'll have them all standing back there. And I want you to welcome them into our church family and welcome Shane into the family of God, as well as Blaine. Of course, he was saved about a month ago. So you know what? When you think about these things, that helps to put everything else in perspective, does it not? You know, no matter what's going on, people are coming to know Jesus, and that's eternal, you know? And whoever becomes the president, that's not eternal, you know? That changes. But this never changes, and our God never changes. So let's leave church today with good cheer, because our God is sovereign, He's sufficient, and I guess I could add a third point. He's still in the saving business, all right? And He's still saving the lives of souls. So may the Lord help us. So, Brother Stevenson, won't you come and close this word of prayer? Choir practice 4:45 today. Ladies, we got the wedding shower afterwards. And get that right there, all right? Wedding shower afterwards, okay? And the Gullett family will join us in the back.
Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your saving grace, and thank You for this family. And I pray, Lord, that You would help them as they grow. Lord, thank You for saving all of us, and what a powerful work You've done in each and every one of our lives. May we never forget that. Lord, we know when times are troublesome and when things seem to be going a different way, Lord, we know we can always look to you because you're still on your throne. I pray, Lord, that we would have faith and we would simply just trust in your name. In Jesus' name, amen.